So you are done with your show about 4:15.
4:15.
I'm going to give you about an hour to get home.
Okay.
Take.
Yeah, so that's
five,
right.
So I'm picturing 5:30. You sit in with the Nepal earthquake movie.
Get in there.
I'm watching the.
Get in there.
Look. World.
What time does that start?
Yeah. Can we all watch it live? Can we watch it together?
Okay. Do you guys not like those kinds of documentaries?
Death documentaries?
It's not death. It's just natural disasters.
Well, what do you think happens in a natural disaster? People die.
Yeah, but you learn some stuff in these documentaries.
Hey, it's my night off. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll watch that.
Let's watch some more people die.
Have a glass of wine.
I saw Halloween before that.
Yeah.
Take
Halloween,
an edible.
Yeah.
It was awful.
That. Was it awful?
It was really bad.
I just think they've run out of
I think 15 years ago they should have stopped, and for some reason I thought, let me buy a ticket to this.
I wanted him to turn it into a romance where Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers fall in love at the end, and then they start
they're
a whole new chapter.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody said,
are
yeah,
really?
Somebody did
yeah,
send a tweet on that.
That. Yeah,
I forgot to mention that to you.
They're brother and sister.
Oh, well, then I scratched that idea. That seems like a bad idea.
It's your brother.
Yeah, Trev, what are you trying to do here?
I didn't know.
It's like Game of Thrones all of a sudden.
Come on, Trev.
Travis, since Mason and I were not here yesterday, what is the status of your survivor pool?
Okay, so I was going to ask you about this. I tried to pick again. So here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Four of us were left going into week seven.
Right.
Okay? Only three people picked. Somebody forgot to submit a pick.
Get out of here. Yeah. Really?
So that guy's out.
How does that happen?
That guy or girl is out.
Got this far and you forget to submit a pick.
Somebody forgot to submit a pick. The three of us that did pick all lost. Okay?
All lost.
Two of us had New England. One of us had Tampa.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming we all get to pick again, right, John?
I think so. I think that's how it works. Have you reached out to the guy who runs the pool?
I have not sent him an email yet, but I tried to pick yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was locked out.
And you're locked out.
So I was not able to pick. So I don't know if we split.
Well,
it
I think
three
that
ways.
Guy keeps all the money now.
You got to get to week 18.
Runs the league, just lucked out.
Nice.
Yeah. I texted you, John, as the Bears were putting it on the Patriots the way they did. I was lucky to get as far as I did because those games are impossible to predict.
Did you see that? You know, they pulled Belichick pulled Mac Jones after the interception.
Yeah.
Did you see today there's video of the ball actually hitting the wire for the
the pick?
The
spider cam?
The spider cam. It hit the wire, and that's one of the reasons why the ball was picked off and Belichick yanks the guy. And there's video of it. It's clearly hitting that wire and altering the trajectory of that throw. Trajection. It's a brand new word.
A couple days off and your vocabulary went to
trajectory.
Mush.
Yeah.
How was your time off?
It was really nice. I got to see my mom and not stepdad Leo's new house. They're all settled down now, 6 years together. And very cool. And had a big steak dinner there. Went out to the desert, out to Desert Hot Springs, soaked for a few days. And
what's that like? I've never done that.
It probably is dull for a lot of people, but for me, I like just getting into hot water, that mineral water, and
it's like a natural hot spot.
Correct,
right?
And cracking open the Kindle and reading a little bit and soaking a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
No pictures this time. No thirst trap. No thirst trap from Desert Hot Springs.
John, are you a hot springs guy?
Hell no.
Yeah, no.
It's a different kind of. But you know what's great? Me and Juan both like it. You know, and that's one of the most important things in a relationship is you like to do the
both
same kinds
it.
Of vacations. Yeah. Like some people are go, go, go. Other people are, I'm here to relax. I'm here to soak. I'm
figure
here to
out
be mellow. But if you are of two minds, in other words, if one wants to go, 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 and the other one wants,
just
to,
wants
relax,
to chill,
then I think you've got relationship issues because that's the way. Does Lady Slee like to go camping in Joshua Tree?
She likes to go, go, go. Now, she will... she will tell me every once in a while, hey, if we're going to go do this, can we just not do, let's make sure we don't do anything. So I'll just adjust, not do anything. But for the most part, if we're going to go somewhere, we want to explore.
Nice.
Yeah. We like to go a place where there's alcohol.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of alcohol.
Whether it's wineries, wine tasting, or go on vacation and find a place, nice hotel, nice bar, good food. Like that's kind of the
vibe. Are you a spitter?
A spitter?
Yeah.
Oh, with the wine tasting?
When you go to a winery, do you like spit it into the little jar after you taste it?
Yeah, no. I'm going to enjoy the wine that I'm
Well, he has so much tobacco there, too, so he's spitting just throughout.
It took me a second to figure it out. No, that's kind of gross. And they got that bucket in the middle of the table?
Yeah, the spit bucket. Yeah, I don't know if I like a spit bucket.
Yeah, I don't need one of those.
But otherwise, you get loaded, and you're done at one winery, and then the next winery is pointless.
Well, you can't have two bottles at your opening
Only
stop.
The first two glasses of wine matter. After that, it's kind of...
But you're not even going like full glasses at these places, right? You get a little tasters, and you move
get
it down the
flight.
Line.
You ever done that? The flight? Just the flight
of wines?
Yeah,
but they're just a sipper.
Ireland, are you a spitter when you go to a winery?
No, just give me the wine.
Yeah. I think you and I could take a vacation together. I think we'd play some golf.
If there's a golf course there, I'm fine.
Yeah, we'll go drink wine. You like martinis?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Did martinis get me in trouble?
I didn't ask you.
Yeah,
I know how you go.
Bergman sent me a text the other day. I think they're going to make you return to the scene of the crime.
No!
I mean, I have to check with Greg if I understood.
Is that right?
Might be a broadcast coming.
We have a remote coming up.
Easily avoidable,
back where you got drunk.
Oh.
Here's what you do. I'll take the Coke. I'll have a Coke, please.
Yes, I'll have a
Coke.
Here's
what you do. Yeah. When you see Morales, go the other way.
Run!
Yeah, just
Morales is going to sucker you into three dirty martinis.
Oh, was that what you were drinking?
Three extra dirty martinis.
That's the correct number. That's not the right number. That's not the right number.
Two is the right number. Yeah.
Two.
That hits the spot.
That third one really.
Has ever said, I'm really glad I had that third martini.
Yeah.
It's a sentence that's never been uttered out loud.
Two sounds right.
Is there a plaque or some way to memorialize what happened the last time I was at Clairman's Galley? Could we unveil
where would it hang? Like, I mean, we could put it where the stage was, I guess.
Oh, like a star on the floor at Clairman's Galley?
You know, like in golf tournaments?
I've got a plaque at Muldoon's in Corona del Mar.
Do you?
I'm in their Hall of Fame.
Nice.
Not bad.
Nice. That's
not
cool.
Bad.
Is there a picture of you?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Mason, I think we should take a picture of you from that day and frame
and put it up.
And frame it and put it up.
It's like a Mookie. There's a Mookie jersey autographed, and then there's Mason.
Trust me, there's some shaky video out there because afterwards I was pretending like I'm totally fine, and Carlo was like, okay, let's do a video about something. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm saying at this point. But that video does exist out there.
Good day.
Like, what they could do is, I don't know if they do it at Clairman's, but a lot of places you'll go in and there'll be like a TV over the men's room.
Sure.
Where you stand and take care of you could just run on a loop.
Yeah, right.
Your video.
That
will
video.
Just be like an it's eternal flame.
Great
of Mason.
Bit. Great bit.
That's a good way to do it. John, where does Denver fall on the NBA city list? I know that there's places you're happy to go, other places less so. Where's Denver?
Good. Top 10.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, really fun here. Always
what makes
fun.
A top 10?
Great hotel. We're right downtown. They have a great downtown here. They call it Lodo, lower downtown.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you can walk to the arena. It's about half a mile away. But always like coming to Denver. Less so with Minnesota, where we fly tomorrow.
Right. But it's probably not hit the super cold
October,
right?
Right. The coldest it's going to be on this trip in both Denver and Minnesota is in the 30s, which isn't too bad.
Is Memphis still last on the list?
No, Oklahoma City's last.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
For all the opposite reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oklahoma City and the fact that we traded it for Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver's a good spot.
Yeah. Now, Travis, I have a question.
Or no, we traded Memphis for Vancouver. We traded Seattle for Oklahoma City.
Memphis is Gus's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Memphis is not bottom five.
So I want to ask you something. Let me pivot off this. We'd hit the Seinfeld thing if it was our show. Did you ever dip?
No.
You never dip.
I mean,
as a ball player, you never dipped.
Yes, but was I a regular user? No. I bet you I've done it twice.
Was everybody?
In my life.
Does everybody?
So
like
if there
what
were
percentage?
25 guys on my team, there were maybe five of us that did not.
Only five?
And I was in the five.
So this is, I guess, they're a sponsor. These Tiza things. Have you tried these?
No.
Haven't tried them.
They're these little pouches with sort of a caffeine herbal sort of something or other in them.
Have you been using them?
I have been using them. In fact, I had to order more, which is ridiculous because they're a sponsor. I'm sure they would have delivered more. But no, I actually have gotten into the habit of it, and it's kind of nice. It gives you, I don't want to say, it doesn't give you a little buzz, but it gives you a little caffeine.
You what it gives you?
Yeah.
It gives you energy,
yep.
Focus,
yep.
And oral stimulation. That's what it says right on the package.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what you get. Did you get all three of those things?
I did. All three of them. I'm having all three of them.
Are
right
you
now.
Doing? Yeah, I was gonna say. I noticed you. I thought maybe it was a cough drop or something, but nope. You're teasing up.
I'm teasing up.
Did you ever dip? Ever back?
Yes,
in the...
I did.
You did?
I did. When
Why?
I was working in minor league baseball. Why?
Oh, okay. That
everybody
it.
Did.
Mm. Yeah.
Guys used to do the most disgusting stuff. Like there was a guy. I'm trying to think. His name was Doug McPherson. He was a pitcher, and he used to take a wad of tobacco, like a big wad of tobacco, and he'd chew up some bubble gum. And then he'd take the bubble gum and he'd stretch it out and tie it all around the tobacco.
I tried that.
Then he'd stick
Damn.
The whole big wad in his cheek. It was so gross.
So my favorite player as a kid growing up was George Brett.
Right.
Still is my favorite player of all time, right? There's a classic George Brett baseball card where he's got exactly what you described. Just it looks like his like a squirrel. His cheek is about to burst along the way. And I'm always thinking, that just looks so cool. I got to try that. I got to have one of those giant
And did you
cheese.
Try it?
I did. Sick as a dog.
Yeah. No,
just
a lot of people get sick on tobacco.
Vomit everywhere.
I never got sick on dip. I got sick on tobacco once.
Cigarettes?
No, tobacco.
Oh, you're like
chewing tobacco.
Chew.
Yeah, no, I never smoked cigarettes.
I'm going to guess that you were never a chewer, Slee.
Never did chew.
Ireland?
No, never.
Ever dip Ireland?
No.
All my Would you friends like to try? Would you like
UCLA.
To start?
All your friends do?
Yeah, all my friends did at UCLA. It was a big thing back when I was in college. I just never did it.
Are you dipping up there? Are people dipping up there at Mountain Gate?
No, mostly they just smoke weed.
Oh, nice. Honestly, better alternative.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one
deal.
Sounds...
You do see that on the golf course. Everyone, you'll see the little remnants, the little trails. I'd rather have just about anything else.
And it's banned now.
It's
right?
banned?
Isn't tobacco and dip banned among Major League Baseball
Minor
players?
League players, I know that they did a ban. I don't know if it's Major League or not.
Are they still, they're still dipping in the Major Leagues?
I think they
I
are.
Don't know, but I...
They have to be.
They're adults. Can't they do what they want?
Yeah, but I think the idea was at some point, well, this is setting a really bad example for our youths.
What's your worst habit, Slee? If it wasn't dip or chew, what's the worst? Did you ever
Eating
have to
late
dip
at night.
Something up?
Eating late at
that's
night.
That's not so bad. I mean, it's not great, but that's
It's not
so
good
bad.
At all.
Yeah, but it's
you
not.
You know what I still do a little bit that I should be really embarrassed by, but I caught myself doing it the other day. I did it a lot as a kid. I still bite my fingernails occasionally.
Yeah, I'm not a bit, but you'd have a weird fingernail thing where you just like tear them. Ireland is a weird fingernail protocol.
Yeah, I never clip them.
I never did that.
He never clips his fingernails. He just sort of tears
Peels
the caps
them.
Off
I just tear them
yeah.
off when they get long.
Like daily?
No,
John, no, I'm with John on that one. I just don't bite my nails. Like, you know how people just literally will bite their nails and you got just a little nail. I never do that.
But you, Mace.
Worst habit?
Yeah.
Well, aside from late night eating. Which is a given.
That's I can't shake that one.
Yeah, I can't shake it.
Well,
I can't
did you
shake
guys,
late night
Did
eating.
You guys hear what we did? Mason was so committed to ending his late night eating binges that he was going to change his Grubhub password to something he would never remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I convinced him to let me change his password. So now, right now, I'm the only person alive that knows the Grubhub password to
Does
Steve
he have to
Has
call
that
you?
Helped? Has that helped?
Oh, it has. I have not been able to use Grubhub. And I don't use any other service. Grubhub is the only one. So I've not actually caved in
are
at
you,
any
like,
point.
I
just go in the fridge.
Of Uber Eats and...
I'm choosing to go Grubhub alone. And Ireland's like giving me clues, yes or no questions and stuff. Ireland, you want to do it right now?
I think we have to go because McVay's coming
on. Oh, yeah,
no,
we have to do. McVay's coming on.
Oh, so we got McVay coming on. You got it. All right, Sean McVay coming up next. Mason in Ireland also coming up next. Don't ask a soup question.
No.
Stravitz Slee. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm doing it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bah!
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Is it me, or was that just kind of a throwaway rejoin from Morale? Like, it's just, here's what's coming up, and nothing funny, nothing.
Well, aren't we
sporty?
Going like Sean McVay in 1 minute?
I think at any moment, he's not on the line yet, but at any moment he's going to be here.
Think
but
Chris
still,
was probably told, hey, get to it.
Is that right? Did Morales
get to it?
Yeah, right, Jorge. You know,
We're a well-oiled machine.
I was listening to the show yesterday.
Today's one of those good days.
Yeah, it's a good day. I was listening to the show yesterday, John. Do you ever listen to the show when you're not here?
Never.
It's an interesting experience because you get referenced.
Wait a minute. If you're listening to the show, why didn't you just work?
Because we were driving back from Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the car during that stretch of time. And I heard, we don't have Sean yet. I heard Jorge and the McRib sandwich, which is like the most disgusting thing in the world.
The most amazing thing in the world.
And Jorge's like defending it. And I've shown him TikTok videos of how they make these McRib sandwiches. They're gross. They're like compressed pork made into rib shape and then rolled in bar. Oh,
yeah.
Just gross.
Delicious.
I'm glad McDonald's is finally going to get rid of them after this run.
They're not.
Ireland, you ever eat a McRib?
Not in years, but I'm not against them like you are.
They're awful.
They're not awful.
If I send you a TikTok video, you will never eat them again. There's a TikTok video out there. No, I'm telling you.
I'm
going to find that TikTok video and send it.
Wait, so you're expecting them to take meat and put it in a smoker overnight to have this?
No, I just expect actual.
It is meat.
Actual ribs, not meat compressed.
Okay, so
in a mold to make it rib shape.
The hot dog process is the same way. Just a bunch of meat made into a hot dog.
But
it's
completely different. No, it's not the same. Don't tell me it's the same thing. Don't tell me it's the same thing.
Don't tell me facts. No facts.
I hate that when people challenge me. Still no McVay.
Come at me.
All right, so let me see. Where do we want to start? So, John, I heard you were really angry on Monday. Were you really angry on Monday?
I don't think so. Not any more angry than usual.
Bergman told me you got really pissed off.
No, it was really angry. Super angry. No, it was more so that you just didn't like anybody saying anything negative about Russell Westbrook. And it's not about Russ hitting the table.
Did he hit the table?
It was a pounding
was it
situation.
A hit the table day?
I don't remember pounding the table, but I will say this. I think Westbrook is, I've never seen a town turn on a guy like they've turned on him. Apparently, if it rains today, it is Russell Westbrook's fault. If the traffic
is bad, Westbrook.
It is Russell Westbrook's fault.
Thanks, Westbrook.
Hey, what are you going to do tonight, Mason? Brooke. Hater of Russell Westbrook. Want to send him home and not have him play at all? What are you going to do tonight if the Lakers lose and Russ doesn't play? Who are you going to blame then?
I'm going to blame the same thing.
What, Russ?
No, they have no shooters.
Right.
It's a badly constructed team with no shooters.
That was my point on Monday.
But what if they win? Russell Westbrook should not have taken that shot with that little 15-footer.
Shouldn't have taken either one of them.
I mean, for me... If Russell Westbrook is shooting 29% from the field and 8% from three, I don't want Russell Westbrook shooting at all, and yet he's still shooting.
Correct.
And shooting at high leverage moments of the game.
All right. Tell me if you think – I know Bergman will say no, but tell me if you think this would work in the modern NBA.
Okay.
I was with James Worthy 2 days ago.
Yep.
And he told me Pat Riley had a rule with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your career three-point shooting percentage is 34% or better, you're not allowed to shoot threes. You are banned from shooting threes. So that would mean no more threes for AD, no more threes for Russell Westbrook, no more threes for these guys who can't shoot him. My whole argument, Mace, is that for some reason, people like Bergman have put it into the Lakers' head that if you are left wide open at the three-point line, you need to shoot it. You must shoot it.
Well, okay. So,
I think that is the most asinine way of looking at this as possible. Why would you continue to do something that you know you're not any good at?
Okay, but if you go back and you look at, for example, the success of teams in the last few years, you will find the teams that take the most threes or a lot of threes to be near the top of the standings, and the teams, you know, like...
Incorrect. Completely wrong.
Where?
I looked it up 2 days ago.
Who was it?
The team in last place right now in three-point attempts, 25 a game. The Lakers shoot 39 a game.
Right.
The team that shoots 25 a game is 4-1 and is really good. It's New Orleans.
Okay.
The team that's ranked 28th.
Small sample size.
Very small sample size.
I mean, you can make a point.
Last year was
your
logic.
Washington
shot the most threes last year, or the fewest threes. Washington shot the fewest threes last year.
Right. When the Lakers won the
and
title
that's a
in 2020.
That's a full sample size.
When the Lakers won the title in 2020, so a full year, they were 25th in shooting threes. 25th.
In 25th in volume or 25th
yep.
in percentage?
In attempts. You do not. There is not a rule.
But if the idea...
Despite what you idiots think, there is not a rule that says you are required to
okay,
shoot.
But here's the
they
thing,
leave
John.
You open at the 3-point
nobody
line.
On this team shoots well from three. Nobody
okay,
is especially
making
good.
My point.
So why? So they would have to go an entire game without shooting threes if they used the James Worthy rule, which is James
not
Worthy
true.
Says if you don't shoot what
34% career, not this year, career. 34% career, you can shoot threes. That means Lonnie Walker can shoot threes. Patrick Beverley can shoot threes. I think Troy Brown can shoot threes. LeBron can shoot threes. All right?
And Westbrook should not shoot.
From the three-point line? Ever.
He shouldn't shoot anywhere. Ever.
It's
anywhere,
like Bergman
ever.
Telling him that if he's open, he has to shoot. He doesn't. Bergman's point is, and Greg, I won't put words in your mouth.
By the way, LeBron is exactly a career 34% shooter.
Right, so he can do it. But here's the thing. Bergman says if they leave you wide open
yep.
at the three-point line, you have to shoot it because if you don't, they'll just pack the defense in.
Well, and that I agree completely with Bergman. They'll pack the defense
in. You agree
in.
That Russell Westbrook should continue to shoot threes. What the
no,
hell is wrong
no,
with you?
No, I don't think Russell Westbrook should even be on the floor. What are you talking about? I've been
right,
arguing for a Russell Westbrook trade or to hang on a second.
Okay.
Hang on. Sean's on the phone.
Okay.
So we'll return to this. In the meantime, joining us right now is the head coach of our Los Angeles Rams, Coach Sean McVay. Sean, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Everything is good.
We're excellent, Coach, and we're glad to have you back on the field again this week. All right, so you know things that we don't know. Did you feel at any point that we were getting Christian McCaffrey, or did you sense as that situation played out, that he was probably going somewhere else?
I think those things happen quickly. You know, the Niners made an aggressive move, and they got him, and we'll see him two games in a row now. He's a great player, but we've got some great players on our team, and I like the look in our eye. I like the feel of this team. This is a great op for us to go out there, shoot our shot, and go see what the hell happens, man. Let's do it.
Were you involved in those conversations? I mean, is that all less, or were you involved in any of those Christian any of the trade deadline deals?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, you're definitely involved in that, and you know, Les and I have always had a great rapport since we got together. And I think one of the things with us is we'll always be aggressive in our pursuit of trying to, you know, create and have the most competitive and best team possible. And those things aren't possible without a great owner like Mr. Kroenke. But that situation was something we looked into, but it didn't unfold. And I'm excited about the guys that we do have. We're going to coach them up. They're going to respond the right way. And we're going to come out swinging on Sunday.
One more question. Do you anticipate something happening by the trade deadline on Tuesday?
Whew, I would never say never with us, would you?
Nope, never say never.
No.
But you know what? There's a lot of discussions and dialogue that goes on behind the scenes. Sometimes things come to fruition. Sometimes they don't. You know, there isn't anything right now that looks like it would go down, but there's a lot of different moving parts, and sometimes you get a call for a guy that's available, and if it fits and it makes our team better, then we'll always explore that. But as of right now, doesn't look like anything, but that could change, and you know, dependent upon, you know, some of the discussions that we have with other teams, if that's where it goes.
All right, Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, joining us. Sean, you guys have received a ton of injuries to your offensive line, really a ton of injuries everywhere, but the offensive line has been hardest hit. When that happens, and you have backup players, guys that don't have as many reps as the previous guys, do you have to tweak the offense accordingly, or is it your philosophy that, hey, if you're in there, if we're starting you, we're just going to assume you know everything that Joe Noteboom and Andrew Whitworth knew, and we're going with our offense, and that's it? Do you have to adjust when you have injuries?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and really, you know, this is part of the game. This is part of what you have to do as a coach. And, you know, the first question is, you know, what do the guys do? What do they do best? How do you try to accentuate those things? what is their understanding of where we're at? You know, because like you mentioned, you know, it's never an excuse, and I'll never make one either, because we got to go out, compete, and we expect to be able to get it done regardless of the circumstances. But with some of those injuries, you're talking about guys that literally just got here. So their foundational understanding of what we're doing isn't nearly what even, you know, like when you got some backup guys that have been there as a part of from the beginning of training camp or been there with you for a couple years, you know, they should have a good ownership and understanding. But then you are playing with some guys that literally just got here a few weeks ago, and that's where you have to adjust. But hey, this is NFL football. We got to be able to adjust and adapt accordingly. That's what our guys have done. That's what we expect to do as coaches, and there's not going to be any excuses on my end. And I'm looking forward to you know, getting a couple guys back this week, but you do need to adjust and be smart with it without being scared.
Yeah, you do get defensive back Troy Hill, Traven Howard back, and Van Jefferson. What's the impact now of Van Jefferson coming back on Allen Robinson, sort of the way the whole offense is working?
Well, I think anytime you get a big playmaker like that back, it certainly you know, makes you a better team and a better offense. You know, getting Brian Allen back in the mix at center is huge as well. So that is a boost. And, you know, we're looking forward to having a good week of preparation. We'll see how this game plan unfolds. And then ultimately looking forward to watching our guys go shoot their shot and do their thing on Sunday.
Sean, you've got a lot of tape on the 49ers because they're in your division and you play them a lot. I'm curious, for a game like this that you're getting ready for, will you lean mostly on the game a few weeks ago that you played up there, or will you go back to maybe the NFC Championship game last year when you were more successful? You're a big film guy. Where will you pull most of your material from to prepare for this game?
Yeah, I think because they've had continuity with their guys, you know, at the coordinator spots with Kyle running the offense, D'Amico Ryans. You know, they got a new special teams coordinator this year with Snyder, but yes, you look at those games. Obviously, the most recent ones are really good inventory, but it's about execution. It's about clarity from our end, and then the players going out and being able to get it done. And I do feel good about identifying some of the things that we didn't do that I think are very correctable. Obviously, the opponent always has a say, but this is about us playing good football, and every single game is a new game. Every week's a new week. I'm not really interested in looking too far back. I'm interested in being right here, right now, and expecting to go do our thing.
You know, you've got a sign on your wall there, a motto, urgent enthusiasm, I think is what it says. Describe what that means.
Yeah, enthusiasm works. Urgent enjoyment, same difference.
It is urgent enjoyment. Sorry about that.
You know what? Really the same. It's the same thing, though. I think, I think it's a good reminder for myself because we always want to have urgency, but you also want to enjoy this. I mean, what a blessing it is to be able to work in this league, work with the players, the coaches, and you get a chance to go out and compete and measure yourself week in and week out. And you know what? If it works out, that's great. You got to hit the reset button. And if it doesn't, you're not afraid to really put it all out there again, where a lot of people are. And that's what I love about it. And so you want to have an urgency, but you want to enjoy the process, whether it be good or bad, and make sure that, you know, you're leading, motivating, and inspiring the right way. You know, it is a blessing, and that's kind of what that means, whether you say urgent enthusiasm, urgent enjoyment. We're on the same page, my man.
There you go.
Sean, are you surprised Seattle is in front in the division? I mean, nobody picked them. None of the so-called media experts picked them to compete for the division, and now you look at them, and they're right there at the top. What do you think?
I think they've done a great job. You know, I think that I'm not surprised by anything in this league. Humility is a week away. There's a lot of football left to be played. They've done an excellent job. I have tremendous respect for Coach Carroll. Obviously, a good friend of mine, and Shane Waldron's doing a hell of a job running the offense. Geno Smith, a lot of exciting things going on for those guys. You know, but they're 4-3 after seven games. We're going to try to see if we can do the same thing. But we got a lot of ball left, and you know, everybody's got a narrative every single week. And you know, we have a say, and we can grab the pen and write our story on our terms, and that's what I'm excited about, having a little bit of say in that.
All right. Hey, last thing for you. They were kicking this around on the show yesterday. Whether or not you would be willing or interested in hosting Saturday Night Live. Can you picture yourself ever doing that?
Whew. I'll tell you what. I mean, I think, you know, you got to be asked first. So I think they could do better than me. in terms of the potential hosts. But if that was ever something that came up, I can promise you I'd make it entertaining for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Sean, we've actually know some people that work on the show. We've both been there in person a couple of times. You would kill it.
Yeah, and you'd be unbelievable.
The writers there are really smart. They would put you in it's like coaches on an NFL team. They would put you in a role to succeed.
Hey, I love it. Don't tempt me with a good time.
There you go. There you go. Well, look, I'm looking for a good time on Sunday, man. I'll be there getting ready for Niners back in town on Sunday, a game that could put the Rams in first place in the NFC West. Coach, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, good to be back with you guys. Look forward to having a good, positive call next week after we go handle our business, hopefully.
There you go. I love that, man. I love that. Thank you very much, Coach. There you go. See, there's urgent, what did I say? Urgent enthusiasm? He said urgent.
Enjoyment.
Enjoyment. Urgent
enjoy
enjoyment.
Enjoy the moments as they happen. You know, don't be worried about the next moment. Just enjoy the moment. That's a big Phil Jackson thing. Live in the now.
Live in the now.
Exactly. We're on the same page, my man.
There you go. Thanks, Coach. We're on the same page. He'd be great on Saturday Night Live.
He'd kill it. Absolutely. One of my big regrets was right when you and I got to know Jeff Blake,
yes,
who's our buddy that works at SNL.
Yep.
I really wanted Kobe to do it because Kobe could be really funny.
Yeah.
And he just, the thing that I think he never, and I think they asked him, and then he had all that off the court stuff. And I said, you know, now that you're winning titles again, man, we got to get you in there. You got to do it. He goes, man, it just takes over your life for a week. And he's right. You know, you got to go back there on Monday and prep for the whole week. And I think that's what kept him out of it. If Sean's in the offseason, he could just nail it.
There is so much pressure on that. I just read a story about Melissa Villaseñor, who left the cast this year. She left of her own accord because she was getting panic attacks before the show. This is just too much. This is too much.
Yeah, it is. And if you ever get a chance to go, it's a very small audience,
yes,
about 250 people. And it is, the way I describe it is, it's like an IndyCar pit stop. You get all these cast members running from one corner of the stage to the other. They've got like five wardrobe people following, yep, Kate McKinnon, and she's basically in her underwear changing. But it's not like erotic in any way. She's in her underwear for like 5 seconds,
yes,
and then she's got
a
different outfit on, and then you hear somebody yell 30 seconds. And then you hear somebody yell 5 seconds, and then boom, they just go.
So do you know what? So we have John mentioned we have the friend Jeffrey Blake. So Jeffrey is a talent coordinator, I think.
Yeah, I think he's actually been promoted. I think he's higher up the chain now to a producer.
Because at one point he was the guy that like dragged the host from sketch to sketch and costume to costume and
we
wig
really
to
should
wig.
Have him on one day.
Yeah, just it's fascinating.
Jeffrey's a great guy, and he. And he could tell us like all the inner workings.
Yeah.
And he says it is when you say take over your life for a week, that's probably an understatement. You're probably sleeping John Ireland hours for a whole week.
Yes.
You're sleeping 4 hours a night, and then you're live on Saturday, and then they have the cast party, and you go all night, and then on Sunday you just hibernate.
Yeah.
Hey, I love it. Don't tempt me with a good time.
There we go.
All right,
we got to tell Jeff. We'll tell Jeffrey that McVay says he's interested. I wonder if he can make that.
Yeah.
You know what would be? I mean, this would be bad for you because it would mean the Rams are out. But if the Rams made it to the championship game and got eliminated, but you know you have those 2 weeks before the Super Bowl,
right?
Sean would be perfect for that.
Yeah, but we'll be getting ready for Glendale at that point.
I hope so,
John. So the question wasn't so much whether he'd be good on Saturday Night Live. Do you think he's famous enough?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh yeah. I mean, Greg, this year they've used hosts that you've never heard of.
Yeah,
I don't even know who the hosts are right now.
They really have used.
They
moved it off of Hulu,
so I can't watch it.
Jonathan
Majors. They had the guy from Bridgerton host it.
Yeah.
The original
they had the girl from Fleabag do it.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some funky hosts. I think Sean is more famous than a lot of the hosts that they've had.
And he's in the NFL.
Right. All right, coming up next for you, John, a really, really, really obnoxious tweet. And Bergman kind of likes it. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Didn't Coach seem really up and positive and emotional and dry, great. And I feel like we're going to win this game on Sunday. I feel like we're going to win this game.
Really?
I get no support on that? Nobody?
No support.
Well, obviously no.
Not for me.
You lose mic privileges. What about you, Bergman?
Yeah, I'm going to take San Francisco in that game.
Yeah, thank you, Bergman. Yeah.
They beat them 8 out of the last 9 games.
Yeah, I know, but the Rams beat them when it counted.
I mean, we're on the same
because
page, my man.
Because they dropped an interception.
Well, I mean, you can do that with any game.
Well, what happened in the other 8 games that the Rams lost?
Last time, Stafford threw a pick six that broke the game open for San Francisco.
When San Francisco wins, the games are rarely close.
It was 22-9. They gave up a pick six. They were in the game.
Right.
If he doesn't throw a pick six, they're back in the game. You can do that with any game.
Right, but doesn't Matthew Stafford lead the NFL in pick sixes?
Yes, he does, and I'm not very high on Matthew Stafford right now. Just telling you the truth.
I think the Niners probably win, but I hope the Rams win.
Okay, so la la la. Here's a tweet. I'm going to bounce this. I'm going to read it the way this woman might have said it out loud. Bergman hates this tweet. Okay, here we go. My husband and I wake up every morning and bring our coffee out to the garden and sit and talk for hours every morning. It never gets old, and we never run out of things to talk about.
At the end of it, did she do hashtag blessed?
She didn't. But isn't that essentially what she's doing?
Yes.
Listen to some of the responses. I wake up every day with chronic pain and wash down my OCD medication with an iced oat milk latte. How about this one? For hours, you sit, but what if you aren't inherently wealthy and have to work and stuff? What about this one? What is the purpose of this communication? I'm happy for you, but it's just smug, self-satisfied bragging if it's true. Your partner is most likely embarrassed by the tweet, or at least should be. That is, unless you are flawed. I don't know what that means. So, Bergman, Ireland, what do you think of the tweet, first of all?
It's a little me. It sounds like something you would tweet.
I don't ever tweet anything as me as that. La la la, la la la. I wake up every morning.
You think a picture of you naked under a waterfall is not the equivalent of that?
No, it's definitely not.
It's exactly the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Why are you so upset about this woman just talking about how she likes something?
La la la.
I love my life. I'm
every
happy.
Morning,
oh my God, this is awful.
Out to the garden, sit and talk for hours every morning. It never gets old, and we never run out of things to talk
Anything in that
about.
Voice will work that way. La la la. My la, chair la, hurts, you know, but I don't really like it in here. It's really kind of annoying. It's kind of cold.
We just got a tweet.
Oh, what does our tweet
from
say?
From Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Very good tweeter, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Here's his tweet.
Yeah.
Do you have any sappy music, Jorge, that you could play in the background while I read this tweet? Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. As a kid, I always dreamt of being a sports star. As an adult, I now strive to be like Steve Mason, someone who gets paid a ton of money with unlimited vacation days, and who can't read. Hashtag urgent enjoyment. Hashtag urgent enthusiasm.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
A very good tweet.
It is true. I mean, we are stealing money.
We're on the same page, my man.
What is the deal with us working at Starbucks? Are we still doing that?
I haven't talked to them yet.
Why not?
I gave them my card. They're going to call me. We're going to work it all out. They said they need a couple of weeks, but we're going to get you on there. I don't know if we should. But you're such angry at everybody that likes their life. Ooh.
No, I don't like people who brag about their life.
It's not bragging. They're just talking about a positive thing in their life.
That person is a braggist.
What's the difference between you sitting in your hot tub in the backyard and taking pictures?
I was posting it. That was a deliberate thirst trap. I was just trolling.
But what's the difference between her tweet and a thirst trap?
Because I'm not really, people aren't really that thirsty when it comes to me. She is like very, very over the top and bragging about a relationship and sitting.
It's not bragging. She's just saying,
sitting in the garden every day and watching the butterflies and the birds.
I like my life. Oh no,
there's a dragonfly. We're sitting and we talk and talk and talk and we never run out of things to talk about.
You're a joy hater.
I'm not a joy hater.
It's true. You are.
I just don't like people. Now, do you and Lisa talk and talk and talk for hours in the garden with butterflies?
Hell no. If we were in the car for more than an hour, we can't wait to get away from each other.
Oh, look, there's a hummingbird.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Yes.
No, but isn't part of it that she's bragging about something that we all struggle with?
All things that you probably wished that you had?
Wish
you were in a healthy relationship?
I am
or you're
in a
sitting
healthy
outside?
Relationship. I don't have to brag about my healthy
Do you sit in your hot tub talking to Juan?
From time to time, but I don't take a picture of us and say, look, we're together and we're talking in the jacuzzi. Nothing like that.
Joy hater.
Yeah, it's not a joy hater.
No, well, that's the only reason for that is because Juan doesn't like his picture being out.
Yeah, Juan does not want his picture out.
Otherwise,
you would. That's why you send out pictures of yourself naked under waterfalls.
Correct. Or naked in a hot tub.
Juan photographs those. And you don't know if I'm naked in the hot tub.
You said you were naked in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you're right. I don't know. You told me you were.
Stop confronting me with facts.
I hate your facts. I hate joy.
These facts don't support my story. All right.
Welcome to the show.
Coming up next, we're going to do the Wheel of Questions. Plus, Michael Kay, a great rant about the Yankees performance coach. And what he did before Game 4 of the ALCS. Great Michael Kay rant. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It's my wheel today. And this is a nice personal question. So what was your first date with your spouse? Your first date with your spouse?
I've told you this story, but the most unromantic ending to a first date in the history of the world.
Wow, what was that?
So Lisa and I go out to dinner,
mm-hmm.
and we've heard a lot about this movie that no one will talk about, but mm-hmm. we go to the movie, and the movie was The Crying Game.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Do you remember what happens at the end of The Crying Game?
Sure, there was a reveal that was
correct.
Somewhat
the
uncomfortable.
The woman who you had been watching for the previous 2 hours turns out to be a dude.
Yes.
Except you didn't know it.
Yep.
Until the end. And a spoiler from 1991.
Yes.
Seriously. And so we walked out of that movie and we looked at each other and we go, let's just go home.
Did you go home together?
We survived it.
Did you go home together?
No, I dropped her off and went back to my house. No, I'm telling you, go back, watch the end of that movie. It's the most unromantic thing in the history of movies.
Okay.
But we survived.
Jorge, you and Brenda.
Yeah, we went to, her cousin owns three bars, so nice. We went to one of them. We met at...
How come you didn't go to all three?
No.
Did you meet her in the bar?
No, I met her at Acapulco and Downey, famous spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so through my cousin. And then we went to the bar, and then after the bar...
So is it friends that...
No, my cousin, actually a cousin of mine.
Oh, okay.
She's like, hey, I want you to meet a friend of mine. So I went, she introduced me. She's like, how old are you? I'm like, old enough to get a drink. What do you want to get? And I bought her a drink, and we hit it off.
And the rest is history.
And we did go home that night, if you're asking.
You did go home that night?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Good for you.
Bergman, what about,
I don't have a spouse.
Yeah, you've...
I mean,
yeah, no,
I can tell you a story about my ex-wife.
You did have a spouse.
I can tell you about an ex. What do you want to know?
Tell us.
My ex-wife, our first date was, my birthday is shared with one of my best friend's wife's birthday.
Okay.
It's a couple days, but we shared a birthday party, and I met her there.
Okay.
It was her cousin, and we met there and never stopped, and yes, took her home.
And did take her home. There you go. Ireland, I got to say, Juan and I went home the first night, too. We met at Casa Del Mar in Santa Monica. where I had gone in. I think I had just done a football game for Westwood One. I did Denver and San Diego, and I remember interviewing John Lynch on the field. That's how long ago it was. He was a player at that point. And it was rainy, and it was cold, and I went into Casa Del Mar just to get a cup of coffee, met Juan there. We ended up going to dinner at C&O Trattoria in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, and then that place was fantastic. Did you sing?
When your moon hits
your eye like a big pizza pie.
That's some more. Yeah, we did sing. We did go home afterwards. You're the only one that did not get lucky on your first date.
Yeah, no one was getting lucky after that movie. That movie was terrible.
It was tough. That was tough.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it. That's interesting. In Napoli.
Yeah, see, at C&O Trattoria, which I guess the one in the marina did not survive the pandemic.
There were two in the marina. There was one close to the pier, and then there was one on Washington near Lincoln. So it's still there.
At the top of every hour, everybody in the restaurant sings this song. Turn it up, Jorge. And so the whole restaurant is singing, and then they bring out a bunch of free wine, yes, which I thought was always really beautiful. Fun. They have great bread at C&O Trattoria.
Those garlic knots they have. Yeah, those things so are good. Awesome. So anyway, I want to make clear, C&O Trattoria is open. Washington near Lincoln, the old location down by the beach, is not open, but definitely C&O Trattoria, one of my favorite spots. All right, so John, after the Yankees were eliminated from the playoffs at the hands of the Houston Astros, it became known that one of the things that the Yankees performance coach did was he showed them highlights of the Red Sox coming back to beat the Yankees back in, I think it was 2004, right?
Right.
So the mental skills coach showed them highlights of that Red Sox
trying to give
series.
Them hope when they were down 0-3.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so Michael Kay became aware of this, and he was less than happy.
The Yankees have a mental skills coach. He put together a video of the 2004 Red Sox coming back from 0-3 down. How in baseball God's name can you be so tone deaf as an organization as if to do that? How can you be that tone deaf? I mean, talk about bad optics. Are you out of your mind? Do you know that I talked to three players from the 04 team? They were outraged by the fact that their failure was being used as motivation for the 2022 team. How could you do that? It would be like somebody from Lincoln's family, and you're trying to teach them about shootings in theaters, and you use their dad as an example of how to avoid it. I mean, are you out of your mind? And then to make it worse, Eduardo Perez, who's doing the game with Dan Schulman on ESPN Radio, has Aaron Boone FaceTime with David Ortiz. And Ortiz supposedly gave some advice about how to if I'm Aaron Boone. And I know that Eduardo Perez tried to walk it back. Well, you know, they were joking around about the Philadelphia Eagles or whatever. But no. Here, Aaron Boone has to say to David Ortiz or to Edward, no, thank you, but no, that's we're not going there. And here's the amazing thing, Don and Peter. They told the media. They told the media. Aaron Boone told the media. Oh, yeah, we put together a tape of the 04 Red Sox. Oh, my goodness. I hate to do it. I hate to do it. I hate to do it because I don't want it done on the show. If George Steinbrenner were alive today, somebody would be fired to do something like that. That's tone deaf.
So it's tone deaf. What do you think, John?
What do you think of when you're down 0-3?
When I'm down 0-3?
What do you think of for inspiration of how you can get out of that? What's the most famous comeback of 0-3 ever?
Well, the most famous is 2004, the Red Sox.
Right. I think Michael Kay's getting all worked up over nothing.
But wait, why would you show Red Sox highlights to the Yankees? To me, that is tone deaf.
If you're trying to motivate people that are down 0-3, what do you go to instead?
You go to showing them Miracle, the movie Miracle.
They weren't down
0-3. Herb Brooks. No, they weren't down 0-3, but they did pull off an impossible feet. They beat the Russians.
Right, but it's apples to oranges. This is apples to apples.
Yeah, I just think Yankees do not, Red Sox highlights should not be shown in the Yankees clubhouse. Period. And by the way, it didn't work at all.
If you can't learn from your failures, then you can't learn at all. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm with Ireland.
Show the Red Sox highlights to the Yankees?
Yeah, they were down 0-3.
Here's the way I win this
argument.
They
weren't going to win anyway. Your desperate times call for desperate measures.
If I would have done it the way the Red Sox did, which is Jason Veritek said, everybody drink a shot before the game. How about that? How about just taking that trick, drink a shot before the game, loosen up, don't be so tight out there, and play your game, drink a shot before every game. Now, I would have supported that, but I don't think Mr. Performance Coach Guy necessarily would have supported drinking a shot before going out in the game, even though that's what the Red Sox did.
I think when you're down 0-3, you've got to try something, anything, because you're probably, there's a 99% chance you're going down.
Correct.
So I think Michael Kay the Yankees got destroyed.
Yes.
The Yankees were as bad in that series as the Dodgers were in the Padres series. And so you got to try something. What difference does it make? They lost. They got swept. That's not the reason they lost, that they showed him a Red Sox highlight video.
It is,
they lost because they didn't hit.
It's just tone deaf to show Red Sox highlights to the Yankees. It would be like showing San Francisco Giants highlights to the Dodgers. It is a ridiculous concept. Do you really think the Dodgers would sit down and watch San Francisco Giants highlights?
I don't know. Well, the Giants never came back from 0-3, did they?
Never came back from 0-3, but they did win as a wild card. They won the world championship as a wild card, so it's still an amazing story. I think the rivalries. Do you think the Lakers would ever show Celtics highlights to their players?
I hope not, but it depends if the Celtics did something that the Lakers were attempting to do. I don't think the Celtics have ever come back from 0-3.
John, you won't even wear a green tie. You really think no matter what the Celtics have done?
I don't own any green clothing, except I allow myself one day a year, St. Patrick's Day, I'll wear green. That's it.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, hey, Lendell White. Boom. That's a crazy story. Did you see that story?
I did.
Yeah. We'll do that coming up. And interesting, the 50 greatest HBO shows of all time. I've got the list. That is coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.